It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cost.
I don't want to interrupt Bobby Womack. Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. Show is available as a podcast, is also available on iTunes. We have a blog, which will eventually turn into a Twitter account, but you can check it out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard, Throwback Friday, because we have a regular guest who is returning. We played the old Scott intro. That's pretty good. So it's, you know what, it feels like Film Sociology 2008. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
And besides the fact that it's Bobby Womack singing Across 110th Street, which was used brilliantly, not just in Across 110th Street, but of course used even better in Jackie Brown. And there's a Jackie Brown connection with today's show when we get to dead people we like as well as dead musicians we like. But a little later on in the second half of the show, a brand new chat with Film Sociology regular Robert Irvine from Food Network.
Cool.
Because there's a film that he and his wife, I don't think they saw it opening night, but they had to go see it pronto. So I'll be talking with Robert about Mad Max Fury Road. He's got a new book out called, I believe it's Fit Fuel, it's a health book with recipes, and he's...
Cool.
Talking about that, talking about working out, talking about he's given me a challenge, which is fun. I threw a challenge back at him. So anyway, that's in the second half of the show.
Did he say, bro, do you even lift?
No, he did not say, bro, could you imagine, bro, no, he doesn't, he does, not even mate, do you even lift? No, he does not. So anyway, that's the second half of the show. Opening in theaters today, Spy, the new Melissa McCarthy comedy. The report, I heard David Edelstein's review of it on Fresh Air, and I think there's one thing that we just ask, and apparently it is better than Tammy. So there is that. But we have talked before about my concerns over Ms. McCarthy, and I'm sure she could tell me to go do things to myself, which is fine. That's her prerogative. I just don't want her to be Kevin James with an Academy Award nomination under her belt. And she'd have some Emmys, I believe. I am intrigued to see Jason Statham do comedy. I want to see if that's possible. And Jude Law is in this film as well as Rose Byrne, who's always fun, Allison Janney. So she's surrounded by good people. So anyway, it's out there. We'll see. Entourage. Did you ever watch Entourage?
I did not.
You did not.
Well,
there's a movie version of it now, which apparently, if you like long episodes of Entourage, there it is. But we're not going to talk about those. I saw something else today, and it made me... That's how it works, basically. We have a trailer, and it's the film called Love and Mercy, and it's the story of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, who's played... It captures two parts of his life. Him in the 60s, and he's played in the 60s by Paul Dano, And then he, and in the late 80s, where he is played by John Cusack. And play the trailer, see how much the trailer gives away, and then we'll talk.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Can I help you today?
I'd like to buy a car.
Hi, I'm Dr. Eugene Landy.
Do you know who this man is? Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Ah.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round.
We've all grew up in California. The brothers here, Dennis, Brian, and Carl.
So I listen to those harmonies. I would teach them to my brothers, and we'd all sing. Listen to me. I'm going on and on. What about you, Melinda? Why don't you have a boyfriend?
He broke my heart.
He shouldn't have done that.
You hear the new Beatles? We can't let them get ahead of us. Got all kinds of new ideas, new sounds, new instruments. You think we could get a horse in here?
I'm picking up good vibrations.
We've played with everybody. Sinatra, Elvis.
But you.
I'm blowing our minds.
If you want to continue to see him,
you should know.
Brian is a very, very sick man.
I hear voices. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to scare you away.
The talking in your head, that's part of the song?
Jesus Christ.
It's part of the music.
You are not hungry. You think you're hungry.
Stop! Ryan, time for your pills. Come on.
I may not.
I need you to report to me your thoughts, your feelings. His thoughts, his feelings. I'm giving you unprecedented access.
He's my legal guardian. He's protecting me.
No, he's over-medicating you.
Can you swim?
Brian will not be able to see you anymore.
You can't do that, Gene.
Yes, I can.
I have to say to myself 5 times a day, I love you.
Does it work?
I don't know. Sometimes I wish I had somebody else to say it to.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
I do not want to be one more person who wants something from you. So I'm going to walk away.
Why can't I be with her, Gene?
For the same reason, man, that you cannot be with anybody.
I'm gonna beat this, and I'm gonna beat you!
You need to get back to your life. You and me, we're gonna walk out of here right now, and everything will change.
One of the perks of hosting this show is when we play trailers, I get to watch Kobe watch the trailers. Emma likes to watch those on YouTube of kids reacting to whatever they're watching. So, Kobe, did you know anything about this film?
No.
Not really. And then, of course, I don't even have to form it as a full question. Kobe, Beach Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
But you are aware, of course, of the famous harmonies and then how much of an influential album Pet Sounds would become.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, you're not out of the woods.
And Bianca loves the Beach Boys.
Ah, well, here's your film right here. And how much did you know of Wilson, Brian Wilson?
Not a whole lot.
Well, you're going to find out with this picture. Wilson, of course, there's of course been a documentary made about him. There was a TV movie, I believe, about the Beach Boys as a whole. But needless to say, Brian Wilson, lots of plot and character and life things happening in his life. And we get the parallels between the Paul Dano sequence and the John Cusack sequence. I really like Paul Dano in this film. You know, he's had a pretty solid career of playing with whether it's stuff like Little Miss Sunshine, 12 Years a Slave, There Will Be Blood, Prisoners. I mean, he's found interesting material, and I really liked him here as Wilson, a guy who has creativity, not just that you hear the term voices in his head, but the creativity that he's trying to get out. And there are aspects in his career and in his own group that just want to do songs about surfing and girls, and he wants to expand and create something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pet Sounds, as you heard in the trailers, you know, they were trying to one up the Beatles, and because of they heard Revolver, or was it Rubber Soul? But because of that, became Pet Sounds, and because of Pet Sounds, the Beatles made Sgt. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the complexities and using quote unquote non rock instruments. And he was, you know, he got caught up in his own head as far as trying to get that sound out. There's a famous story of Wilson having sand in the studio so he could feel it in his in between his toes when he was sitting at the piano.
And you saw that in the trailer.
And you do see that in the trailer. So, so for that, I think we're eternally grateful for an album like Pet Sounds, which I think is just a rock solid album, and God only knows is one of my favorite rock songs. Period. By the way, used beautifully in Boogie Nights. Go check that out. But the conflicts between his band and his dad, and by the way, we should never forget that the Wilson dad is kind of right up there with the Jackson dad from the Jackson 5, as far as Father of the Years awards. So yeah, Brian Wilson, even at the height of his popularity, still had a lot of scars with him. And so we go back and forth between the 60s period and the 80s. And this one is John Cusack, and Elizabeth Banks is the lady voice you hear. She starts to develop a friendship, the lady voice. And by the time she crosses paths with Wilson, then he's under the thumb of his doctor, played by Paul Giamatti, Giamatti does smarm. And he does it well, mm-hmm. and he does that here with a funny hairpiece. it's the 80s. And Elizabeth Banks, Mike Perry, of course, will back me up, and she looks great in this. And it's more than just the girl. She has some nice moments with Cusack. Can you remember the last John Cusack film performance of note that you enjoyed?
I don't know.
Exactly. And he's good in this. By this time, he has been burnt out, and he's under a lot of medication, and he's trying to break out of it one way, especially when he crossed paths with Elizabeth Banks. So, I mean, two really dire moments of Wilson's life are in this film. But between the music and the performances, and hopefully, if you don't know about what Brian Wilson had to go through in his life, I hope that you'll check this out. So I think, Kobe, definitely date night for you and Fair Sweet Bianca on this one.
Cool.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, I did, and it's one of those. And you've heard me say, if sometimes a documentary is flawed because I already knew the material, and I knew that Wilson had gone through this, but it's still very entertaining to watch. So yeah, I hope you go see this. It's not getting as big a push as, say, Spy or some of the other films that are opening in 3,000 screens, but mm-hmm. I hope you go check this out.
Cool.
Most definitely. So Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
This weekend, IU Cinema. Tonight, Heaven Adores You at 7 p.m.
And it adores you, too.
And then tomorrow at 3, The Salt of the Earth, from last year, and that wraps up this weekend. Also mm-hmm. happening this weekend,
yes,
the IMA is starting their Summer Nights film series tonight with National Lampoon's Vacation.
The original.
Yes.
I am not looking forward to the remake. And it's not a correction. I don't need a reboot of that. I'm saying. But anyway, yeah, first one's fun. Beverly D'Angelo, Christy Brinkley in a single film. That's pretty good.
Pretty good there.
That's pretty good there.
So that's tonight at the IMA. Also, Midnight Movie Madness starts at Keystone Landmark tonight with The Matrix.
The Matrix. The first Matrix.
The first Matrix.
Yeah, that's good. Did you watch Vacation? Or was that after your... The first one?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I can't force you to watch it. Lots of other things I'd rather force you to watch, but no, it's flawed. there are funny aspects as far as the trip, but Chevy Chase as Clark gets on my nerves really quick by the second half of the film, and the fact that they made, what, four of these with him, I didn't need that many.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it, just not as much as others of my generation.
And I feel like this and Christmas Vacation especially gets a lot of hype, the same way that like John Hughes, like Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. And
yeah, and I'm sorry. I know. Melissa sat in that very same space where you were and would give me grief because I don't fawn over John Hughes. I'm sorry. I enjoyed The Outsiders and Rumblefish more than I did 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club. Sue me. Yeah, so that's there. What's happening at the drive-in? And of course, every week, it's a reminder, we have to have a film sociology gathering at a drive-in, hopefully this year.
Tibbs.
Mr. Tibbs.
That's Tibbs. Screen 1, Movie 1. Spy, followed by Pitch Perfect 2.
Girls' Night, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Girls' Night.
Yep.
Screen 2, Entourage, followed by San Andreas.
Bro Night.
Yep.
Girl Night and Bro Night. Okay.
Screen 3, Insidious Chapter 3 and Poltergeist.
Kobe not going to that one.
Nobody going to be at that one.
Yes, they are. Just not the Slagles, that's all.
Screen 4,
Uh-oh.
This is...
An odd pairing?
We
love odd pairings at the drive-in. Go ahead. What is it?
Tomorrowland and Mad Max.
Oh. Whoa. Adventure, I guess?
Yeah.
Two different studios.
Yeah.
It's not that... Because sometimes you get that. You'll get, like, two movies from Fox or two movies from Warner Brothers. That's a weird pairing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're hoping that the kids fall asleep by the time Tomorrowland is over so you can enjoy Mad Max Fury Road. That's weird. You haven't seen Mad Max yet, have you?
Nope, I haven't seen it.
Bianca, any?
I don't think so.
Well, then that's your bro night.
Bro, let's go to Mad Max.
Yeah.
Then
so.
At the Skyline.
In Shelbyville?
Yep. San Andreas.
Yep.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Whoa. So one for him, one for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it looks like it starts out one for her, one for him.
Fair enough.
Pitch Perfect 2 followed by San Andreas.
Yep.
And then 1:30 a.m. This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, that's a good evening right
that's
there.
That is an eclectic evening.
So is this show. So it fits perfectly. Boy, if we didn't have plans, that could have been the film sociology road trip right there.
Wow, that is a...
That's a lot of movie.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a lot of stories going
something
on.
Something for everybody.
That is something for everybody. And we would, you know what? We would also, we'd get a buffet of movie treats from the snack bar.
Oh, yes.
And, I could see Bianca digging Pitch Perfect, and then...
Saw Pitch Perfect. Like
you
Pitch
you
Perfect.
Enjoyed that, mm-hmm. And then, you know, we would comment on Dwayne Johnson doing scenes with Paul Giamatti in San Andreas.
Oh, Paul Giamatti's in two films out right now.
That happens. Well, he's a busy guy. He's
like
always
Dwayne
working.
Dwayne Johnson was in two at the same time, like, a couple weeks ago.
And Furious is still in theaters, isn't it?
Probably.
And then, of course, Spinal Tap. Bianca has not seen Spinal Tap yet.
I don't know if she has or not.
Emma was very patient to have her.
I
dad.
Can see why you would think this is funny.
Not quite that. Her thing was it had a Bianca tone to it. Dad, these guys are stupid. And went, honey, that's kind of the point. She's like, the clothes are just yeah. She's like, you didn't do that, did you, Dad? I went, well, not entirely. But but she quotes it. She does quote. We talk. You know, 11 is a favorite number, of course, mm-hmm. And None More Black. That's another one. And we don't talk about Nigel Tufnel's ballad.
D minor is the saddest
of all keys. It's a mock piece. We just do an hour of quoting stuff. We have not done the quote show yet.
Quote show.
Quote show. So let's see who would be in the quote show. Us. Abdul.
Yep.
Two others.
We could just sit Abdul down and walk out.
He would, yeah, and he would notice. Hi, Abdul. Yeah, you're right about that. So that's a fun evening. That's a good, because normally it's like a fairly obscure kind of drive-in mm-hmm. grindhouse thing, but they got a print of Spinal Tap, so that's cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have no excuses. There is plenty to see out there of small and big and odd and eclectic and
movie events like a triple feature at the drive-in, and like midnight movies, and like the IMA.
That's right. So there's plenty out there. And, of course, next weekend, Midsummer Night's Dream and Titus Andronicus at the Richmond Shakespeare Festival at Earlham College. Mm-hmm. Kobe and Bianca will be there on the 20th.
Yep.
Midsummer opens a week from today, and Titus opens a week from tomorrow. So we'll be talking about that. We are... one of our ad campaigns, Kobe, and you'll start seeing this on the page, on the Facebook page, my Facebook page, as Josh, my director, wants to do 10, he's going to show one each day on his page, but trailers to horror movies that influence Titus Andronicus.
Mm.
So last night was the first one. The original Last House on the Left from the early 70s.
Wasn't that remade just a couple
years
ago?
Yes, it was, with Tony Goldwyn. And of course, I had to be film nerd and say the original Last House on the Left was actually Ingmar Bergman's The Virgin Spring. Same story. Yeah, I'm that guy. We can't.
Yeah, I saw this movie before.
Okay, I didn't say it like David Spade. Now, come on. Yeah, we talked about. Yeah, because they remade that, and there have been a number of horror films in the last decade. Tony Goldwyn, of course, that's the guy from, he was the killer in Ghosts, and he's done a lot of other things. Isn't he the president on the, didn't Taya Leone have a show where she was Madam Secretary, and I believe he was the president, something like that. Anyway.
Are you thinking of Madam Secretary?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch that?
I did not.
Did Bianca watch that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Taya Leone, there you go.
There you go. Anyway, Tony Goldwyn, working guy, good actor. But some of the films, and I think of Virginia Madsen, I believe, was in A Haunting in Connecticut, where you get good actors to be in the horror films. And that kind of like Liam Neeson in Taken, it takes the genre and moves and, you know, elevates it a little bit because you have actual actors as opposed to dumb half-dressed teenagers going out to see what the noise is in the hallway before getting sliced and diced.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that the Last House on the Left was day one. Not a pleasant film. Not a pleasant film. And not a date film. And don't go to bed after watching that film. Just saying. All right. We're going to shift gears. I guess we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. There's a couple titles. We have Dead People We Like, and in my chat with Robert Irvine. Good to have him back on the show. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. My chat with Robert Irvine in a couple of minutes. I'm just going to be quick with DVD and Blu-ray titles because I only watched one of them because I've been in rehearsal. Sorry. So I'm letting the show down. And also, the fact, I tried to rent Jupiter Ascending, and it was out every night.
I thought you saw that.
I didn't. I did not.
Okay.
I did not see the sci-fi epic from the Wachowski siblings, which this is what Eddie Redmayne did after Theory of Everything. So And of course, Mila Kunis and
Channing Tatum, yes,
among others. So anyway, that's out there. Didn't get a chance to do McFarlane USA with Kevin Costner, his 8th film in 6 months.
That's the running one.
The running one. But I did watch Focus with Will Smith and I forgot her name. I'm sorry. The DiCaprio's wife from Wolf of Wall Street. You know that film that's obnoxious.
Yeah.
And he plays a career con artist. And, of course, a young lady who wants to be a con artist, and she is taken under the wing of Will Smith.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you, Margot Robbie. Sorry, Margot. I'll get a text from her later saying, apology accepted. And so there's the con part of trying to teach her to be a better con artist, and guess what? He's a man, she's a woman. They start to have feelings for each other, but they're con artists. So are they really feeling it, or are they just, and of course, there's always a big deal. There's a big sting, so to speak, that's going to happen. And guess what? Not everything goes according to plan. And I think of this film. This is a film, if you've never seen any films about con artists ever, you're going to enjoy this. But for the rest of us, you're just waiting for the last shoe to drop at the end. You know, there that because con artists are a major presence, you know there's going to be some twist, some turn, and you see it coming. So kind of disappointing. And you've seen films about con artists, right?
Yes.
So nothing's going to be surprising there. There's a couple of old titles of note. 1776 is out on Blu-ray. You and Bianca need to watch that on July 4th. It's a musical, and it's the stuff. And there's also individually and as a box set, the John Wayne collection, Rio Bravo, The Train Robbers, Cahill, United States Marshal, Fort Apache, and The Searchers, and a Mickey Rourke double feature of Pope of Greenwich Village and Desperate Hours. Okay, we want to get to dead people we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. Actress Betsy Palmer, who has been working since the 50s and appeared in films like Mr. Roberts, Queen Bee, The Last Angry Man, but she's best known for playing Mrs. Voorhees in Friday the 13th, the first one. Yeah, so she got to do horror conventions for the rest of her days in that. So, and then a costumer, Julie Harris, who won an Academy Award for her costumes for the Julie Christie film Darling from 1965. Julie, thank you. She also did costumes for A Hard Day's Night and Help. Apparently she's a quote. She actually got to see all four Beatles naked. Other films that she worked on include Casino Royale, the 1967 version, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, Live and Let Die, Rollerball. Thanks for the futuristic football gear that is the original Rollerball, Land of Time Forgot, and others. And Kobe, you were playing some Brothers Johnson.
Yes.
Because.
Man,
you forgot his name.
Yeah,
Julie also did costumes for the 1979 Frank Langella Dracula, as well as the Great Muppet Caper, and Candle Shoe, the Jodie Foster Disney film. Which one of the brothers Johnson passed?
Lewis Johnson.
Thank you. Sorry, but he's still pretty cool, and you should have some Brothers Johnson in your collection, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, the only thing missing now is what is Kobe watching? It's a show from 5 years ago. But anyway, he is back. He's got a new book, and he's going to fill us in on what he's doing this summer. And we talk about Mad Max Fury Road and him going to see it with his lovely wife, Gail. And I'm trying to get her on the show so I can get her review of it. Ladies and gentlemen, good to have him back on. Food Network celebrity chef and film sociology regular Robert Irvine. Ladies and gentlemen of Film Sociology Land, he has returned, rising from the ashes. It's probably not really ashes. They're probably from a barbecue. But Robert Irvine is with us on the show. How are you, sir?
What's up?
How has your summer been so far?
It has been crazy. We're launching a food line into retail with the proceeds going to our foundation. The live show is going ridiculously crazy. You know, we just finished a new show called Chopped Impossible. Restaurant Impossible returns for its 12th season, and we have a daytime talk show that we are in the middle of getting going. So it's crazy.
Wow. Well, I normally let you go ahead and promote what you have going, but I have to ask this right away because this is the film show. Have you and Gail seen Mad Max yet?
We saw it two nights ago and wowza! The only movie with no story, but lots of bangs and excitement.
I'd say there's some story. It's about the birthing agents, but yeah, it is. I showed Emma the last 20 minutes of the second film of The Road Warrior, and I was screaming about real stunts done by real stunt people, and Fury Road does not fail to deliver on that part.
I've got to tell you, I was clinching my seat and holding Gail's hand for White Knuckles and some of it. That's the type of movie that, I don't know, when you've worked out all day and you just want to go and see a good movie. And obviously, the original Mad Max I went to see. So it was good to see, hey, a new face, or two new faces. Charlize Theron did an awesome job, I thought.
Yep.
But again, I like her as an actress, so I just really loved the movie. I thought the driving scenes, the explosions, the silliness with the guitar, the fight scenes, just really cool stuff.
I think you need, for your live shows, I think you need a double neck guitar that shoots flames and seven dojo drums.
I think you're right. Maybe we should have to talk to Josh and get that done.
Absolutely. Yes. If anybody can do it, it's Josh. I would say, you talk about clenching your fist. I think the next time you go, you should probably just bring a bag of walnuts, because by the time the movie's over, you have a snack waiting for you.
I think poor Gail's hand was like that. the excitement of movies is pretty much like the live show. You know, you spend 2 hours or an hour and 45 in a movie, and it's an escape from life. You know, you're eating ice cream or you're drinking a soda, whatever you do in the movies, and it takes you to that place. You know, what would you do if you're in that position? And Mad Max was one of those. The Avengers of the Age of Ultron was another one we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the movies. I tell you one thing one of the movies I didn't think that I would really get into, but I really did, The Age of Adeline.
Oh, yeah.
I really love that movie.
I wound up reviewing it, and because on the surface it kind of looks like a Nicholas Sparks novel, you know, the kind of, you know, glossy, kind of sugar-coated stuff, but it's a film that's really smart about its concept. And you have good people in it, and that means a lot, actually.
It kind of reminded me of what was that when Mel Gibson never aged, you know,
Forever Young.
Pilot. What was it called?
Forever Young.
Forever Young. That's what it reminded me of, but done a lot smarter.
Yes, absolutely.
And I really enjoyed that. And it, you know, Gail always says to me, "Oh, you love chick flicks." And I'm like, "That wasn't a chick. That was a good movie."
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Gail normally picks the movies, and I just tag along because I want to look cool with her. But
well, you could say that Mad Max is a chick movie, because I didn't know there was going to be more than just Charlize Theron. I didn't know there was going to be these wonderfully leathered skinned Australian women that could shoot a bow and a rifle like nobody's business.
Yeah, right. Them Australian women, you got to watch out for them, you know.
And I'm assuming Gail enjoyed it as well, because that is 2 hours of girl power, and I can't wait to show it to my daughter.
Gail, my wife, is all about strong women and making sure that we respect. You know, she's all about respect, and I think that did it for her. So, and I think she could see her playing one of them pieces, funnily enough.
Well, I'm going to hopefully set up a chat with her fairly soon, but I keep bringing up the idea of a female Expendables, and hopefully she'll be a part of it.
Yeah, she, you know, obviously you saw the thing she did, all the stunts she did in that Royal Kill movie or whatever it was called.
Ninja's Creed, yeah.
I think she, you know, and she's my wife, so I'm gloating a little bit, but I think she can do anything. She's like my superhero, so.
Absolutely. Very good.
I'm very blessed.
So did you take, now was it just you and Gail, or were the girls with you as well?
No, just me and Gail. You know, it's kind of, when we get downtime, it really is about just chilling. And for me to watch two movies back to back at any one time is normal. You know, we'll come out of one movie, go straight into another theater and watch another one. Because I don't get a lot of time to do that. Movies are my thing, and I really enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Did they have drive-ins in England? Have you ever been the one?
We didn't have drive-ins, no. Although, obviously, America, the old drive-in big screen movie theaters and I actually saw an old one that's in Tampa here that obviously they don't use anymore. It's rusted away and the screen's still there and it's overgrown. But, you know, that's another cool thing. You know, I used to see Jersey movies in the park on a Sunday night.
Yes.
Similar type of concept, but you took your chair and a blanket or whatever and just sat and watched with kids.
Yep.
Annalise and Talia and I used to do. So I like that concept. I just think it's a great way to relax, you know, family in the dark. And it's better for me to be in the dark. It means people don't come up to me and like, hey, Robert, can you take a picture?
Right. There's a couple of drive-ins still in central Indiana, and the goal this summer is to get the family out to a drive-in. So yeah, I guess you got to search and see if they're still out there in your neck of the woods.
Well, yeah, and I travel so much now, Matthew, and you know, it's crazy. I do want to see the new San Andreas.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's on my list.
Yep.
Gail wants to see Aloha. It's so funny because Pitch Perfect, my girls wanted to see it, and I've been tweeting back and forth with some people from that show, which is kind of funny. I looked at the what's her name from Spy, Melissa.
Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy. That looks kind of fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good entourage, obviously, is on everybody's tongues right now. So I think there's some good stuff going on.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you can find some time with that. But I know one of the things you have going is Fit Fuel, and you're now in bookstores. Tell us about Fit Fuel.
Well, it's not out yet.
Okay.
We've been pre-selling the Fit Fuel book, and it's all about health and wellness and families and eating healthier, but more getting kids in the kitchen, getting to work out with them. And that doesn't mean in a gym. That could be walking the dog. It could be whatever. But Fit Fuel is a real departure from, you know, they wanted me to do another cookbook, and I refused just to do another cookbook. I wanted to do something that people could take and put on their table and actually use as a reference. You know, if they go to the gym and there's a lot of philosophy, there's a lot of information about how to pick foods and choose foods, the labeling and all those sort of things, lots of great hints in there, amazing food photography. I'm the model, actually, in the book, which is funny for the exercises. And I will give you a sneak peek. There is one half-naked body at the end of it. That shows 8 weeks of working out with this eating plan in there. And Matt Tuthill, who is the senior editor of Muscle and Fitness, helped me write the book. But really just following my philosophies and principles of food, healthier eating, using acids, you know, orange juices, lemon juices, fresh herbs, and making it more simple. And having fun working out and changing lifestyles.
Well, I've seen a couple of the pictures, which made me wonder, did Gail photograph these?
No. Gail, it's so funny because Gail was the one, you know, when I did the magazine cover, Gail was the one that was keeping me on the straight and narrow. You know, I love pound cake and I love ice cream and I could only have one cheat day a week. But, you know, I believe in that cheat day, you know.
Sure.
If we stick to these, you know, mundane diets and eating plans, nobody ever has fun. And I want it to be indulgent as well as, you know, being smart about picking choices and healthy choices, whether you travel or whether you're at home, but really getting your kids involved in that.
Yes.
Because I think the kids need to understand where the food comes from, that it's fun to understand, it's fun to clean, it's okay to make a mess, and it's okay to mess up things. But then you clean it up and you move on and you go on. And I want people to know that if they make a mistake, it's okay.
And it seems like it's a never-ending battle between quality versus quantity.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, most restaurants in this country seem to think that the more you put on the plate, the bigger the people, you know, it entices more people. And that's not the case. I wish they would change that philosophy. You know, just put good food that's cooked well, that starts with a good product on a plate, keep it simple, and people will come back and they will eat. You know, it's funny because, you know, gyms and health fads, obviously January 1, everybody wants to be fit, and then by January the 17th, everybody doesn't give a monkeys anymore. Hopefully this book will inspire a lot of people, like Restaurant Impossible and a few other things that we do that make them make that conscious lifestyle choice. And it's funny because Fitness Impossible, even though it wasn't picked up, the episode we've done, and I talked to those three folks, the police officer from New Orleans, TJ, the 420-pound guy who's lost 85 pounds to date, even with a bad knee, and the guys are amazing. I talk to them every day, and the mom and daughter that you saw just wanted to get into a wedding dress. And I think it's food is supposed to be fun, just like fitness, and the book shows that.
Yeah, in fact, that episode is still in our DVR at home, so the family got to sit down and watch that. So
when we're and you know my schedule more than I do, and I thank you for that, because when we're in Indiana next, you have to work out with me and can take pictures.
Oh, you're a dangerous person, sir.
I just said it on your show, so now you've got to do it.
You devious little monkey. Thank you for saying monkey earlier. I'll fill in, folks. The first time I saw Robert's show, I was his MC, and he made me do. He told me to drop and give him 20, and the first five were okay, and then he just dropped down and banged out 10 as if it was absolutely nothing. And looking at me the entire time, I stopped doing push-ups. The people are cheering, and then Robert, without even breaking a sweat, hopped up onto his feet while the audience is cheering, and then you smacked me in the behind. Just for a little extra.
And we've been friends ever since.
And we've been
how long ago? 4 or 5 years.
Exactly. And as I told him afterwards, I've had dreams about people from Food Network spanking me. He wasn't one of them. Not even on the charts. Sorry, but you
yeah,
may
I know you want Rachel Odiado or somebody. I know.
I did not say anything. But I think many audience members were jealous. But anyway, yes, and that became a beautiful friendship. So anyway. But I know in the book there are three sections. I believe it's basically the mental aspect, the training aspect, and the rest, the cooking aspect. Is that right?
That's correct. And there's a lot of sites. So what I wanted to do is make sure, like the shows that I do, I want everybody, no matter what it is, somebody to take something away, and it's different for all of us. So there's lots of great tips to help you, not only cooking, but also, you know, when you look for food and when you look at meat and you look at poultry and fish. And so there's a lot of tips on how to pick the right foods and what to look for if they're bad, because nowadays we unfortunately add gas and stuff to meats to make them look red. Mm-hmm. They necessarily don't stay fresh, but they look red. So we give you a lot of information on that, a lot of information about how to make simple food taste good without all the fat and salt. And it just goes along with my mission of educating America into different food styles, simple food, making life easier and having fun.
Well, I noticed, I think I was reading on your Twitter page, you had a recipe, and now that it's summer, basically, you had a halibut recipe. It seems like summer is the perfect time to work, dabble in seafood.
There is so much amazing seafood that you can get in this country. That you can't get anywhere. You know, I lived and worked in Jamaica, and I couldn't get fresh fish. It's an island.
Whoa.
Same with Aruba. Yeah, it's scary. And here we are, and we've got all these resources, and, you know, people are afraid to cook with them. And I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to try the food, and you'll be surprised. And it's so funny because I posted a couple of those recipes on Twitter, like you said, and people are making them and sending me pictures. And I encourage people, especially with kids, you know, we have a 10-year-old young man. Obviously, I know Amber Cooks. It excites me to know that these kids are going there with parents and they're not afraid to cook. And it's amazing what you see these kids programs now with the next best junior chef and these kids, Guy Fieri and Rachel Ray,
yep,
have one,
yep,
which I judged on, and I'm going to tell you, oh my goodness. 8 years old, better than some of the chefs that I know.
Exactly. Emma wants to be a judge on one of them, and she wants to ask the contestants what their food costs are.
Now, I don't know. They'd probably be able to tell you that, too. I've never asked them that, but they'd probably be able to tell you that.
Exactly. So one of the other things I think that happens with this book is, I know you get asked a lot about how do you maintain your physique and how you and who you are. I mean, and I think this book sounds like it's going to be a big answering of that question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting in front of the gym right now as we're talking, funny enough. I got off a plane. I leave again tomorrow, but I got to get my workout in. I think that for me, I'm Gail, obviously. I was really into fitness before I met Gail, but Gail has really pushed me to a different level of, you know, the balance And what fitness does for me, and the book explains really clearly, is, listen, we don't all have the same goals, you know? If you want to put on a nice dress or wear a bikini in the summer, this is the way you do it. If you want to be a big muscular guy, this is the way you do it. And everybody can get, or a child doing an elliptical machine. There's something for everybody, and there's not one mold fits all, you know? And fitness isn't about that. Fitness is about taking your own personal goals and achieving those goals over a period of time that you're comfortable with. And a lot of that is a lifestyle change. It's not just going to a gym and, you know, pumping iron. I don't lift heavy weights. I do a lot of exercise. And it's so funny because I was in the gym in Iowa yesterday, and a guy came up to me. He's like, oh, you're huge. And I'm like, no, look at the weight I use, 30 pounds, and I do 100 reps of that weight.
Okay.
You know, I pull it down 100 times. I don't need to put, you know, 700 pounds and jerk and move. And that's not what fitness is to me. I'm 50 years old almost. I'm going to send you an invite to my 50th birthday in Connecticut. Don't worry.
Okay.
In September. And, you know, life is about, for me, enjoying myself. And for me to put a set of headphones on and I'm watching Netflix and I'm watching a lot of great documentaries on the Second World War, the First World Korea. Because it interests me, and I get it, and I get into that zone. I do 45 minutes of cardio, then I lift some weights, and I go out, and I feel so energized.
Mm-hmm. One of the things my dad used to say with as far, in regards to people that were either so huge, I mean, as far as maybe overweight, or guys that were so buff as far as giant arms, he would always ask the question, "How can they clean themselves?"
You jump in the shower and you rub a dub dub.
Right.
Three men in the tub.
Yeah. When you have like 40-inch arms, but you can't, you know, you can't bend over and pick up something. That's a little frightening.
Well, I'm not in that category.
Nope.
So I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
I can still pick my nose and I can scratch my nose and I can scratch my back and that. You know, again, I'm not looking for size. I'm just looking for healthiness.
Okay.
I want to make sure I have a polycystic kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people know, I'm not afraid to talk about it. At some point, one of my kidneys will pack in. I can't take aspirins or anything that irritates that. So for me, fitness and eating as clean as I can with a little indulgence is very important to me personally because, you know, I have this disease. And basically, it's ulcers on the kidneys that at some point will overtake the kidney function and will have to be replaced. But the way in which I eat and the way in which I exercise helps me control that.
So
it's a lifestyle choice. You know, I have kids that have stage 4 cancer that I work out with. One of them, beautiful little 10-year-old, just in remission after a year of chemo and radiation. And I met her, amazing young girl, very strong. And I said, let me kind of give you a little video. So when you're in chemo, you know, I'm with you thinking about you. And then at the end of the day, I said, you know what? No, tell your dad, McKenna, her name is. When you go into chemo, you text me or you whatever, and I'll FaceTime with you. So I FaceTime with her for a year. Every time she was in chemo, and we've become great friends. She's in remission from the 29th of January. And even on my vacation on the beach in Aruba with my team, we would FaceTime. Her last chemo was in January, at the end of January. And, you know, I was on bated breath because, you know, here's this young, vibrant human being with a great attitude that's really sick and she beat it and she's exercising and you know what we eat, how we exercise prolongs life, and that's it. I mean, that's why I'm an advocate of kids getting out, getting off computers, and this is a great book for kids and parents to do together.
Indeed we'll be looking for it. Any idea when it might be hitting stores?
We're putting, I self-published it, which I'm very happy about. So it's on my website right now, chefirvine.com, and then it will be on Amazon. I'm not sure which stores it's going to go to yet.
Okay.
But you can get it on the website, and you can pre-order it right now. It comes out in August, I believe, although we are going to send out the pre-autographed books in July. So I'm very excited about that, and this is how cool it is. The publisher sends me the front page of the book before they even bind them. I actually sign the pages, and then I send them back, and they put them in the book itself. It's not like you send me a book and I sign them. It's actually the page that they put into the book, which I think is really cool.
Nice touch. Very cool.
So,
And I heard somewhere through the grapevine that there might be book signings later on this year. So I'll have to verify that.
Yeah, we're looking at that. You know, again, schedule. We're trying to find out what we're doing with the daytime talk show right now. As I know that, you obviously would be the first to know that because you always are. If I'm not telling you one of my team is, I think you're part of my team, actually, but I don't pay you.
Yeah, well, you pledged to pay me. Remember, it's public radio.
Listen, here's what it is. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
I pay you in push-ups.
That I watch?
And you know I love public radio. I was just doing an interview, Matthew, about my foundation, the Robert Irvine Foundation, and how we give back. And I thank all the people in press and TV that do good reporting and good stories to give hope to other people. And public radio is a great way to do that. So, and your show, obviously, and I'm not sucking up to you, your show, you know I love it anyway.
Thank you.
It's just good listening. And at the end of the day, we don't want to hear about all the bad stuff all the time.
Right.
There's got to be some good stuff. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. And yeah, I'm going to start training now that you put me on spot.
Don't worry, I want videos too.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'll do the DVD commentary. So I know you're also doing a few live shows. How has it changed from the Emma and I saw one, I believe, last year. How has it changed since then?
Well, the live show, you know, I keep pushing the team to be, you know, better and bigger. And now the show has a wheel of doom. I wouldn't say fortune, a wheel of doom.
Okay.
That not only picks food, but takes equipment away and gives challenges. Lots more video involved in and what we do and what we've done in the past year and how we've raised money and built homes and all these things with Gary Sinise. And just really, the show is in, I think it's like seventh generation in 4 years.
Yeah.
And we just keep adding and taking away and listening to what the folks have to say. And I got to tell you, not only is it a fun show, it's exciting. It's I don't know what's going to happen. That's the fun part. Mm-hmm. And it changes so frequently. But we're also doing good. You know, the merchandise, the portion of the book sales and the merchandise and all the things that we do in the real world of Robert Irvine goes to the foundation so we can help other families in need.
And I know the last time we saw you, you did a cooking demo before the show with some cooking students, if I remember correctly. This was out in Joliet, Illinois.
Yes. Yeah, we do a little VIP thing before, which is always good because, you know, I don't get that much time with people because my schedule is so busy. We travel 150 days a year with the military. And then the show schedule and the live show and all the other corporate partners that I have. So for me, that time of VIP and getting to hang with people that I care about. And people say to me, oh, you're so tough. And I am tough, and you know this.
Yeah.
There's a time frame to get things done. It's a real show, a Restaurant Impossible, real people, real problems, real solutions. And we don't have a lot of time, so I'm intense.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to these live shows and you know, I love to have fun, and I love to listen and talk. And in fact, if I had my way, I would talk for 4 hours prior to the show, because I there's so much to share and so little time to share with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the interaction. I think my life has changed dramatically since Restaurant Impossible started, and obviously you were at the beginning of that with the live show and all these other things. And I've changed because the show has changed my life.
Yes.
You know, not only do we change people's lives, the show has actually changed me as a person, for the better, I think. I just love the interaction of the guests that we have, and I love to see kids have fun. I love to see them scream and shout and run around, and it's just a fun time.
Now, I think you mentioned earlier that RI did get picked up.
Yep, we are starting to film season 12. So we've done 138 episodes to date, and we've got another season coming up. We're planning to film that in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the downtime was really good from a foundation of, you know, this weekend we just did the Grand Marshal, the Memorial Day Parade. I was made a Chief Petty Officer of the Navy honoree. Just doing a lot of good stuff that I really enjoy doing. So the downtime for me has not been downtime really, but you know, we're booking plans for a trip to Cuba with the military, Djibouti, and then back to Afghanistan to make sure we thank our troops. We were just in Lima, I'll say Lima, Ohio, I think it is.
Lima. Either way.
Is that correct, Lima?
I think it's a song lyric. You say Lima, I say Lima. Let's call the whole thing off.
No, it's not Lima. Lima's in Peru. It's Lima.
Ah, very good. So I stand corrected. There you go. Sorry, Ohio.
That's how I remember it, because I kept saying Lima, and they said, no, it's not Lima. That's Peru.
Okay.
That's the only reason I remember it. But I got a chance to drive the new Abrams tank, which was unbelievable, and thank the 450 workers at the tank place for what they do for our military. And just awesome stuff, Matt. I just love to see the faces when you give.
Yes.
And it's time, it's money, it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But it's something about the smile on kids, the smile on veterans, the smile on whoever when you're doing something good.
Well, I noticed from the last season of RI that there was a little one, that the challenges were different, and two, we got to kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit as far as how the show was made, how you encounter it. Is that going to continue on with the upcoming season?
I'm very excited that we are actually the new season is all kind of ambushy.
Yep.
You're going to see an awful lot of behind the scenes, and because I want you to see how real this show is, and you know, because you've been there. But a lot of people think reality TV, and most of it isn't real. Restaurant Impossible is real. You know, if I get upset, you know it. If I'm angry, you know it. If I'm happy, you know it. I dance.
Yep.
Badly, I might add. But so there's a lot more of that. And I think that when people see the ambush show that we did in Orlando, which was a great show, and they really enjoyed seeing what happens. So I think that's the kind of vein we're going. But again, it changes every week I go. I don't know where I'm going. And I like that.
There's a fun moment watching it with Emma that whenever we see Mark Summers on camera, Emma goes, uh-oh, oh boy.
Yeah, that means something's going wrong.
Something is amiss. So.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned also earlier Chopped Impossible.
Yeah, we just did a limited season, 4 episodes, which is very uplifting, very motivational. 4 episodes of chopped champions that come back, and they get the chance to win a large amount of money, but also to go against me at the end. But they've got to get to that point. So there's a lot of personal growth in this, and that's the reason, you know, I don't do competition shows, because most of them are prefixed. There's a reason I did this, because it was mentoring and motivational, and that's how I see myself. It's not about how many competitions you can win, how much money you've got. That's not life to me. Life is about bringing people on in their life and helping them, and I think you're going to get a kick out of this. It's really, really good. So we just finished that last week.
All right. Well, we'll be looking out for that. Now, Robert, you gave me a challenge as far as push-ups, which I'm going to get starting on right away. I have a cooking challenge for you, sir, and I will be in touch very soon. I am currently acting in a production of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, which is his bloodiest tragedy, far bloodier than Macbeth, far bloodier than Coriolanus. And I don't know how much you know of the story of Titus Andronicus, but I want you to look this up, and then I will get a report. I will get an update from you later on. But I would like to know how you would prepare Chiron and Demetrius, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, well, you have to text me that so I can check it into it.
I will text that to you, and then you can call me a sickie later, but I would like to know how you would prepare Chiron and Demetrius. So ladies and gentlemen, we have a cliffhanger, so we can find out how Robert will prepare Chiron and Demetrius. Robert, I'm really glad to reconnect with you, and you're a busy man, so keep good pace this summer.
Listen, you know I keep following you on Twitter, and we don't talk as much because it's crazy, but you know I love you guys, and the family's awesome, and we will hook up in Indiana somewhere.
Very, very soon. And I'll get in touch with Gail, and I'll get her review of Mad Max. And, there'll be a lot of fun.
All right.
Oh, actually, wait a minute. One other. I'm sorry. I'm being Columbo now. What's the one thing in the gym that Gail can do that you can't?
Look good.
Oh, good answer. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, no matter. She never perspires. She always looks, like, perfect. And she's my inspiration for working harder. And she's the only person that can push me more than I can push myself.
I think that's a gymnastics version of Yes, Dear, and I'm with you. All right, Robert, I'll be in touch with you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, take care.